as I've been with you all now for quite some time, I hope that you realize and see that I'm not a big fan of reading from what I have on paper. But I will say that through this study of Daniel, there's so much important information. Sometimes I do find myself having to look down and to read because, number one, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to make sure I give the facts of what I've pulled from God's Word. So if I am looking down a little more than I normally do, I do apologize for that. But as I said, I just feel that it's so important that I make sure that I get the exact points across that I feel are very important as we continue this winter Bible study. Of course, we say the word winter Bible study, but yet I think we probably were at 78, maybe 80 degrees today. But it's been enjoyable. I will say that. This warm weather has been nice. But I just hope that's not a foreshadowing of what our spring and summer is going to be like. But we will continue on with this winter Bible study. Like I said, it may take us a little bit longer than I anticipated, but my goal is to get us through all 12 chapters. So just bear with me. I hope that you do receive a blessing by studying this. And I hope also that you are taking the time through the course of the week as well to read in advance these few verses that we cover on each Sunday night. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse 22 through 49 of Daniel chapter 2. And this is the beginning of the dream itself, where we spoke last week about the king being an insomniac. He was not able to sleep for many days. He was not able to sleep because of these particular dreams that kept entering his mind as he slept at night. And so tonight we're going to move from the actual dream and why he was sleepless to what he dreamed about, the interpretation of the dream in itself. And this is titled The Colossus, meaning gigantic, meaning huge. And it's referring to the statue, this dream in which Daniel interpreted for him. Daniel's early life, it demonstrated that there is more to being young than being willing to learn or being willing to not make mistakes, shall I say. And so when a young person, now bear in mind we're speaking as Daniel being a teenager, young teenager coming from Judah. But when a young person can exhibit wisdom, knowledge, patience, an overall good attitude, that'll catch the eye of older folks who have lived a longer time and can see and witness a difference in a particular individual. And so this was something that Daniel demonstrated early. And we know that Daniel was able to demonstrate this only because God allowed it. I know that's a repetitive thing since we began this Bible study, but we know that God allows all things. Just as Beth mentioned earlier this morning, everything is for God, by God, and he allows all things to happen, the good and the bad. And so there was some bad in Daniel's life, but boy, did it prove to be good. And Daniel demonstrated this day in and day out. The characteristics of Daniel did garner him great respect from those whom he served. And so for us, it's very important too that in our society in which we live, how important we should show wisdom. And maybe that doesn't always mean by opening your mouth and letting people know just how much you truly know. Sometimes true wisdom is the ability to step back and keep your mouth closed and observe. That shows great wisdom. It's so important that we realize when and where we should make an effort to show one's knowledge or show our own individual knowledge. And this is what Daniel did. But every time he had the opportunity, he seized it. But he did it humbly. He didn't do it boastfully. You know, he could have bragged and boasted all he wanted because he knew that he had God on his side. He knew that he had the most intelligent there is in his corner, and he could have constantly just thrown that out in people's faces. But every time he spoke of God, he did it with compassion. He did it with humility, and he didn't do it in a boastful and bragging way that I am better than you because I have God on my side. All he simply did was, or would say throughout his time, was that everything that I do, that everything that I say is because God allows it. And he always took time to give God that praise and honor. Daniel and his friends, we know, had been taken from their homes and had been held or were held in exile, and their future was in doubt. But one thing that was so important, they all or each had a very different personal trait that allowed them to find favor with this kingdom, with this group of people. And it's kind of like us. Each one of us has our own different personalities. Some people are people persons. Some people are real quiet and reserved but can get a lot done. And they're behind the scenes and you don't always realize what they're doing. But we all have different personalities that if we blend them together, we can do mighty and powerful things. And this is what Daniel did. His personality, along with his three friends' personalities, they were able to come together and they were able to accomplish much. So it's the same thing with our church. We can accomplish many different things for the good of God if we allow him a place within our lives. So just as Daniel and his friends took advantage of this opportunity, that's something I want you to think about as well. As we study Daniel, we study what he went through, but at the same time, I want us to also correlate it to real life and realize that we too can do the same things that Daniel did. Just as Daniel was spared in the fire, or Daniel's friends were spared in the fire, that same God that was with them in the fire is that same God that allows you to breathe each and every day. That same God that gives you that strength each and every day. So these were biblical events, but we also can relate these to real life events within our very own lives. One of the very first hints of Daniel's greatness that we see is what we studied in the very first chapter was his refusal to give up on his convictions. And he did it quietly. He didn't make a big scene. He didn't want to make a big fuss. He didn't want to upset anyone. He did it quietly, trying to get his point across, to get his God across. And so very important that we realize that Daniel had strong convictions, and each one of us should have strong convictions, and your convictions can differ from mine, but we all have convictions, or you should have convictions, and if you have those things that really convict your heart, you need to make sure that you don't waver from that, that you don't back off of it. Be strong, be resilient, and if you feel like you're wavering, then what do? You ask Jesus to help you. You ask Jesus to assist you. Daniel had applied God's word to his own life, and he resisted changing the habits he had formed from that very application because, as we mentioned, he was very young. So you know when you were young, you were easy to be influenced most of the time. Some of you may not have been. You may have been the one to have been the influential. But we're easy to be influenced. And so it's easier to go with the ways of the world or maybe go or stray away from God's word when you're in that crowd. And boy, was Daniel in that crowd. He could have easily gone the way of the Babylonians, but he refused. But he did it quietly. He didn't hesitate to stick to his beliefs. You know, we mentioned his spiritual diet, his physical diet, how those two went hand in hand. And that's something that we need to realize, that our spiritual and our physical diet, they definitely go hand in hand. We have to have both to sustain life here on earth and life eternal. Daniel continually communicated well with God. Even as he began to move his ranks, as we see today, he had to move his ranks. And of course, once he was able to interpret this dream that we're going to discuss today, he really moved up in the ranks. But at one time, prior to his ability to interpret this dream that God was going to allow him to do, you know, Daniel was one of those that was going to be killed. But yet Daniel continually prayed. He lived out his convictions every day. And he did this because he was able to trust in God. Daniel had several areas of strength in his life from the beginning of the times he entered Babylon till the end of his times there. He always remained true to his faith. He served as a counselor. This is important too, which is very fascinating though. Even as kings changed, Daniel remained in the king's household. He served as a counselor to two Babylonian kings and to two Medo-Persian kings. And he was a man of prayer. He was a statesman. And here's something else that's very important about Daniel, is that he was a gifted prophet. A gifted prophet. And of course, we know that Daniel survived the lion's den. Daniel was always able to learn from many life's lessons. And so how often do we learn from life's lessons? How often do you learn? Sometimes it may take us many life's lessons before we realize what we need to do or what we need to correct. But Daniel remained quiet through his convictions, and he learned that this would earn him long-term respect. Now, it's not that he needed this long-term respect, but he knew that it would help him in getting his God the glory. See, when you think about that, or when I initially read this and began to study it, you know, we kind of look at it from a standpoint of Daniel's doing this thing really just to save himself and to save his friends. He really didn't want to die a slave, a die a servant. So you think initially that's probably why he's doing it. But it's not. He's doing all that he can do each and every time so that he can continually give God the praise and the glory. Everything that he did. And before he would do anything else, he always stopped and he thanked God. Or he always stopped and immediately began to pray. And that's what's important for you today, is learn to pray at all times, not just to pray when you're in a tough situation. Prayer should be your instant instinct. It should be immediate. Something's wrong or something needs to be quickly fixed. Don't handle it on your own. Pray. Give it to God. Allow him to help you. And something else that we must carry with us is that no matter where you go each and every day, no matter where you end up in this life, that God can use you any and everywhere that you go, just as he used Daniel. We did conclude with verse 21 of last week, where Daniel proclaimed that his God is in total control. You remember he talked about the raising of kings and the dying of kings. Daniel recognized that God was in total control. In verses 22 and 23, he continued to praise God for what he had done, and he takes the time to recognize that everything that has taken place so far, even in his own life, is because God had allowed it. Even the bad, even the mutilation that he had to experience, he still was able to find a way to give God honor and glory for being turned into a eunuch. In verses 24 and 26, this is when Daniel begins to seek out Arioch so that he can persuade Arioch to allow him the opportunity to go and see the king. Can you imagine what bravery that took? Now, once again, we know that Daniel's faith was strong and he knew that God would provide him with the correct words to say, but he went and approached the king with no hesitation because he had the answer. He knew that if he and his friends could get together and they could pray, that God would reveal to him the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, in which none of his wise men, astrologers, or sorcerers could do. So now, looking at verse 25 and 26 of tonight in chapter 2, we'll read here, it says, "Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah." Notice that he says, "I have found a man." So right here, what's Arioch doing? He's wanting the king to know that I did good. I found this man that's going to help you, king. He doesn't acknowledge that Daniel did what? Daniel came to him saying, "Look, I've got the answer." But Arioch says, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" So the king is asking Daniel, "Is this true? Can you really tell me what I dreamed? And not only that, tell me what it means." So before Daniel told the king anything else, he gave credit to God. And so now we'll look at verse 27. And this is Daniel's answer to the king. And I hope that if we're ever in a situation, maybe not in front of a king or even our president, or let's just say a mayor or our governor, whatever the case may be, may we have the boldness as Daniel has in verse 27. He says, "Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." And looking at verse 28, he says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." So Obviously, it's not going to be information that the king truly wants to hear, but Daniel does not stray away from, because Daniel knows that God has given him the ultimate task of interpreting King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Because if you think about it, what else really did he have to lose, even if he really was going to be wrong? He was dead anyway. Going to the king without permission could have killed him. He could have been killed for him. But he went in, brave, convincing Arioch that this is what I need to do. I can save those wise men. I can interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And you know, as I mentioned, Arioch here, he goes and tells the king that he had found this man who could interpret. And then Daniel is able to interpret. But how easily is it for me and for you to take credit sometimes for things God has done through us? And we realize sometimes that we do want to kind of pat our own selves on the back when we know all along that it was God giving you the opportunity, God giving you ability. But Daniel, not Daniel. Because he knew that if he tried to take any credit whatsoever for what he was beginning to do, his boldness, his courage, and then his abilities to interpret this dream, what was he going to do? He was going to rob God of the glory that was deserved to him. So God, he chose the right person. He knew that Daniel would be a wonderful example of what it means to be a faithful servant, a faithful leader, and follower of his holy and infallible word. Daniel always made that point to give God the glory that was due to him. And so, how often do you make time to give God the glory that's due unto him? I'll give you a simple example, and it's something we take for granted day in and day out. But yesterday was different for Amanda and I. Very rarely do we go anywhere by ourselves. And it's really because we choose that. We love having Robert, Michael, and Brody with us, even though they fuss and they fight and they get mad with each other. Then sometimes we get upset with them, but we still love them. They're our family. So yesterday was a rarity for me and Amanda, and we enjoyed it. But, you know, we're driving some 200 miles away, and then Robert, Michael, and Brody were going to be going to a birthday party in Fort Mill later that day with Mom and Daddy, which, you know, that's not a long drive, but our families were moving at different places. And sometimes we don't pray for God's safety. But yesterday just proves to me, though, God is faithful. And he answers our prayers, and he looks out for us. Now, bear in mind, if something would have happened while we were away from one another, that doesn't change the fact that God's good, that God's faithful. But as we made that journey to Asheville and back, safe the whole way through, they made the journey to Fort Mill and back, safe all the way through. God's hand was on us both at the same time. And as all you were probably traveling and doing something yesterday, God's hand was on each one of you at the same very time. We serve a true and faithful God, and God loves us and he cares for us. And we have to be able to recognize in all areas of our lives, we need to give him glory for everything. And that may seem trivial or simple to you, but it's important. The fact that we can get up each morning and begin a new day, give God his glory. Now, bear in mind, we know that if we are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we don't wake up on this side of earth tomorrow, we'll be in glory. But we know that doesn't take away the sadness and heartache that the others will experience while we're here. But give God the glory for everything. And more importantly, when we realize that we are a family of believers, what greater glory is there than that? That we can truly know without a shadow of a doubt that our loved ones are secure no matter what happens on this side of heaven. Arioch wants the praise from the king, as I had mentioned. Sometimes we want praise from the king. But remember to give the king the praise. And he will bless you. You will be rewarded. Look at verse 30 of this chapter. It says, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me." This is Daniel speaking to the king now, saying that this secret wasn't revealed to him. He says, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, speaking of those sorcerers and mythologers, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. So Daniel realizes and recognizes that God knows the thoughts of his heart, that God is going to give him the opportunity to interpret this dream. So now I will read 31 through 45, but before I do so, I want to read just a brief excerpt once again from this book. I hope that you don't mind me reading this to you. I know this isn't story time per se, but this book is a wonderful written book. And this is chapter 3, entitled The Colossus. It says, Daniel didn't hesitate as he made his way up the steps to Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Arioch, waiting anxiously, greeted him at the door. Daniel, I see that you have come as promised. Where would you like to go, to the throne or to the dungeon? Let me put it this way, Daniel replied with a smile. You will not need to destroy the king's astrologers. Relief washed over the captain's face. He escorted Daniel to the doors of the throne hall. I wish you well, he said, ushering Daniel into the opulent room. Nebuchadnezzar sat on his throne, surrounding the dais. Before him stood a circle of finely dressed men whom Daniel recognized as providential governors and other high-ranking officials. When the king saw Daniel, he immediately waved a hand at the other, saying, Leave from me now, all of you. I will call for you shortly. The governors backed their way toward the great doors. When the throne room was empty, Daniel approached the king. Belshazzar, you have returned, said Nebuchadnezzar. I am in the midst of an important business. So if you've come with excuses like the rest of my so-called sages, I'll have you thrown out before you finish a sentence. But if you can describe and interpret my vision, you'll have my full attention. Your Majesty, Daniel said, your counselors were correct. No man can tell you what you dreamed. The king's jaw clenched. Before he could reply, Daniel continued, but the Lord of heaven and earth is able to accomplish what no mere mortal can. In his grace, he has revealed to me the vision he gave you. So even here, Daniel speaks of grace, that same very grace that is over me and is over you each and every single day. Daniel was able to recognize this wonderful grace. He said he gave you a vision that opens the curtain to the future, revealing far-reaching secrets about the ages to come, secrets that have never been revealed to any human being before. The king, still skeptical, leaned back in his throne. Very well, he said, with a sigh of exaggerated patience. I will hear you. You know what will happen if you try to deceive me. You may begin. Daniel stood erect before the king. This is the dream that came to you in the deepest hours of the night. As you lay on your royal bed, you thought you had awakened from a deep sleep. You were in absolute darkness. Not even your own hand was visible in front of your face. You could sense that something was about to happen, but you had no idea what. As you peered into the blackness, you began to detect dim swirls of movement, which you soon recognized as masses of thick, churning clouds. As Daniel spoke, the air in the room seemed to grow heavy. The king's spine tingled as he was transported back into the world of his dream. As you looked on, O king, the clouds and the fog began to dissipate, revealing the vast expanse of the plain of Dura. You could see distant foothills of a mighty mountain range. As the fog lifted, you could barely make out what appeared to be two enormous feet resting on an expansive plateau in the hills. They were sculpted from a molted grayish material, veined with strips of reflective metal. You could see the ankles and the lower parts of the legs rising up through the fog. Nebuchadnezzar gripped the arms of his throne. He stared into the distance beyond Daniel as if he were witnessing the vision all over again. Then the curtain of fog and clouds swirled away. You lifted your head toward the heavens, gaping at this colossal figure that loomed above you. It was a statue of a man, towering far above the hills and the lofty peaks in the distance. The top of the head was so high it seemed to graze the sky. The image was perfectly proportioned and powerfully built, its face noble and godlike. You trembled violently as you gazed at it, fearing it was alive. I would love to continue to read more of this for you all, but for time's sake, we'll move on. And I encourage if you get the opportunity to maybe purchase this book and read it. It's powerful. It tells the story of Daniel's greatness, but more importantly, of God's power. So as Daniel gave this vision of this colossal figure, the king couldn't help but begin to tremble, because he was scared to death, because he could not understand or fathom what this truly meant. And if we were read through verses 31 through 45, it tells us of the dream itself and kind of goes into what I just read. So I won't read each individual verse of 31 through 45 tonight, but if you haven't read it already, I would encourage you maybe to do that tonight when you get home, or maybe sometime through the course of the week, read those verses. Daniel knew how important it was for King Nebuchadnezzar to realize who controls his kingdom. And that's what's really important. It was that he had to stress to King Nebuchadnezzar that it wasn't Daniel's ability. It was God's ability. He was in control. Now, when Daniel began to describe to King Nebuchadnezzar what the statue looked like, he started off with a head. The head was made of gold, and this represented Nebuchadnezzar. At this current time, King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king there was. God had given him great dominion, and even though King Nebuchadnezzar was not a believer in God, he did believe and recognize that Daniel faithfully believed in this God. But King Nebuchadnezzar really never publicly announced that he believed anything of this God. He will acknowledge him, but he doesn't ever truly say that he believes all that he is capable of. But King Nebuchadnezzar had great dominion because God had allowed it. He had great power. He even had great glory. And King Nebuchadnezzar's power is also very similar to the power that even Adam had at the beginning of time, because at one time, Adam reigned over all creatures of the sea, the birds of the air, and the beasts on the ground. This is the same kind of power that Nebuchadnezzar had. The nation had become a vast empire, and he ruled ruthlessly. Babylon itself was an amazing accomplishment with its hanging gardens. Matter of fact, and I didn't know this until reading this particular book, that the hanging gardens that King Nebuchadnezzar had built were one of the famed seven wonders of the ancient world. Could you imagine what that would have looked like? He had many temples, and he even had a great bridge that crossed the Euphrates River. So thus, this gold, this head of gold, was a perfect symbolism of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was at the very top. But after the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, there would be two more kingdoms, each inferior to the previous. So we're going to start with a strong metal, a precious metal. And we're going to gradually work our way down until we get to the toes, where it's clay and it's a mix, not as strong, not as vibrant, not as famed. But each empire still had its power, though. We must realize that. Even though they became less and less, their power was still very, very prominent, but not like King Nebuchadnezzar's. The first empire to rule after King Nebuchadnezzar's was the Medo-Persian Empire, and they would reign from 539 to 331 B.C., and this is the representation of the silver chest and the two arms. So the head being King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. Chest and arms, the Medo-Persian, which is silver. And this is all what Daniel is telling him as he looks at this statue, as he interprets this dream. The Medes themselves actually defeated Babylon in 539 B.C., and that's when they began their reign. You know, and what's so neat to me is this, that you know, when I was in school, and probably the same for you, when you were learning history and you were learning about all those things that took place, you know, never was it mentioned in the history books when we were at school, anything about the Bible and what was going on. But when you read the Bible, it tells you everything that our public education history books leave out. And so it's so amazing, though, because, you know, and I'll be honest with you, growing up, I had them kind of separated. I kind of thought that everything that happened here in the Bible was totally different than what happened in Rome, in Greece, in Syria, in Persia, those types of things. But as I grew older and obviously learned a little bit more, I understood that all of this was intertwined, that all of this was going on at the same time, that God was raising up kings and letting those kings pass all through time as he furthered his kingdom's growth. And so it's important that we recognize the history behind all that has transpired in this book of Daniel. As we move from the chest and arms to the belly and to the thighs, it represents the Greek Empire. And it reigned from 331 to 63 BC. And it was ruled by Alexander the Great. He conquered this Medo-Persian Empire in 334. And it actually took him 4 years to defeat this empire. He battled with them from 334 to 330 BC. So that's the belly and the thighs. And then the next is the legs of iron. And they represent, now we're talking from the knee down, they represent Rome, which conquered the Greeks in 63 BC. So we've worked our way down now. We're getting down now to the feet and the toes. And the feet and toes of clay, they represented, this is important, they represent the broken up Roman empires. Because we know that as time progressed and where we are now, those empires began to break apart. And they began to break apart because the people began to change. Their thoughts began to change. They began to not want to serve and work together. And so the type of metal represented in this dream, it represents the political power. So each from top to bottom, it represents the political power that each kingdom possessed as they moved along. So we started strong, and each time the metals began to get what? A little weaker, a little weaker, a little weaker, until it blends with a clay and metal mix. And we know that clay and metal do not mix. And I will read verse 45 of this chapter. Now let's go to verse 44. This is once it's made it to the very end at the toes and of the feet. So verse 44 says, "And in the days of the king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain." This is what I like in this. This is Daniel saying this with great authority from God. He says, "And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." So he's telling King Nebuchadnezzar, you can think what you want to think. You can even argue with me if you'd like. But God has given me this interpretation. And what God has revealed is true. So you take that to heart today, tonight. When God begins to speak to you and he begins to lead and to guide you, you know without a shadow of a doubt that what he says to you is of great certainty. Be sure of adhering to what God tells you. Do not falter from what God says to you. But I love how it says, because see, we started with that gold and we worked our way down, but then we get to the rock or the stone. It's cut from the mountain. And what this does, this is actually depicting God's kingdom. So we have the present kingdom, and then Daniel carries him through time until he gets to the end, and when he speaks of that rock that's cut out. And what that speaks of is the future kingdoms. The future kingdoms in which we are living in now, the kingdoms that are taking place in the Middle East now, all those who reign here, but more importantly, it's taking us to the future King of Kings. And that is what he wanted King Nebuchadnezzar to realize, that no matter how much fame, no matter how much fortune, no matter how much gold you obtain, no matter how much land you obtain, one day it's going to come to pass. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. And Daniel was trying his very best to let King Nebuchadnezzar know that, hey, you need to get right with God, because all these luxuries that you have will only last for a while. But we know that that really wasn't the case. But we know that Daniel had an important role, and it's just beginning here in this very chapter of Daniel, chapter 2. The Roman Empire was as strong as iron, but also unstable because due to the composite makeup of different people. That's what caused those toes to break apart, because it was an unstable people. Now, you think about where we live now in the United States of America. Wouldn't you say that we live amongst an unstable group of people? Verses 46 and 47. This is after the dream has been given. This is after Daniel has looked at the king and told him, this dream is certain. Nebuchadnezzar decides to do something very strange. He decides to reward Daniel. So then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he fell upon his face, and he worshiped Daniel, and he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now you notice here it says, the king answered to Daniel and said of truth, he said that your God is a God of gods. Now he's saying this, but just because he's saying it, that doesn't mean that he has believed that he's called upon the name of God to be his saving grace. Because as we know, even the devil himself believes in God. So at this point, we don't see any evidence that Nebuchadnezzar has put any true faith in God. He's now seen and put some faith in Daniel because Daniel's God has revealed to him what he needs to know, but he hasn't admitted openly that he believes or was wanting to have part of Daniel's God. So part of our mission in this world is to do what? Is to show non-believers. And see, this is what Daniel was doing. He was being what? He was being a missionary. He was being a witness for God. So part of our mission in this world is to show non-believers what God is like. We can't do this if we're not willing to give God all the glory that he deserves. We cannot do it so that we can receive glory. We can only do this by giving God all the glory for what he has done in our lives. And it's to God be the glory, for everything that he has done is wonderful in his sight. Our acts of love and compassion may impress people. And if we give God what is due to him, they will want to know him more. You know, just like today, we were able to vote as a group, as a church body, to help out people. And how important it is that we do that. And when we do it, we need to let them know that this comes from a church of God-fearing people who want to help out through showing love and showing compassion for people who have fallen upon hard times or for people who are willing to give up their times and talents as missionaries in foreign lands. That's what God wants to see. And that's what we can do. We don't have to be that missionary who has to go overseas. We can be that missionary who walks the streets of Kershaw, the streets of Lancaster. In our small little areas where we travel, we can be like Christ, showing love and compassion. So it's very important that we always take time and we give thanks to God for all that he does. And I know I've said this many times, and I say this in most all of my prayers, and sometimes my prayers may sound very similar and they may be redundant to you, but I feel that it's so important that it needs to be uttered every time we pray to God, no matter what you're praying for or about, that we always say we want to give you the glory, God. And they want everything to be answered through your will, not our will. But that everything that we pray for always be for his will to be done within our lives. And that no matter what happens, no matter if it's tragedy, no matter if it's heartache or joy, we give him the glory for what he has done. Find a way to give God the glory. And in closing, we're going to look at the very last verse of this chapter. It's verse 49. And this is what friendship's all about right here in verse 49. It says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, what a friend is that? Because Daniel was where he really needed to be. He didn't need to worry about his friends. He was rubbing elbows with the king. and all of the king's men. The king had rewarded him, had made him governor over all the provinces. But yet he still thought about his friends. And so I want you to relate that to your life. And when you feel that you have climbed or you have reached a pinnacle where you feel you so rightfully deserved, and you might begin to forget about some of your friends. Well, there's one friend that you don't need to forget about. And that is that friend who made it ultimately possible. And that is Jesus. And this is what Daniel has done throughout this entire, the first two chapters in which we've read, we've covered. That everything that he did, he pointed all the glory and honor back to God. Everything. And he didn't forget about his friends. He wanted them to be raised up too. He wanted them to be right where he was. And it was important for that because if you recall, maybe it was last week or the week before, somewhere in the last couple of weeks, or it could have even been prayer meeting. I'm not quite sure when I said this. But remember, I made a comment one time that it was so important that you surround yourselves with godly people. People of the same mind as you. And so this is what Daniel was doing. It wasn't that he knew that God wasn't going to help him anymore. But God wanted him to surround himself with God-fearing people. People that would pray with him every time he needed to pray. People he could constantly call on. You know, we like to call them now. We call them our prayer warriors. Some of those people we feel has got a closer line to God than some of us do. You know those people. You've heard them pray. But that's what Daniel did here. He called his friends up, said, King, will you please let them come and be with me? And the king awarded that. And the reason why I feel that the king awarded that is because of the fact that God had begun, he began to work in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. I'm sure he softened it up a little bit, just like he had to soften up Arioch's heart to allow Daniel the opportunity to even go and speak to the king in the first place. So God's always working. He uses the good, he uses the bad. But be thankful for God-fearing friends. Don't ever forget about those God-fearing friends. Always know that you've got a nucleus nearby where you can call upon to pray. And if they're not available at that current time, remember what you can always do at any given time is just say the name of Jesus. And Daniel did this so rightfully because he knew that he had a wonderful friend in Jesus. Daniel proved to be a competent leader. But one thing Daniel also showed was that in order to be a good leader, to be a competent leader, that you don't need to try to do everything on your own. God has so graciously appointed me to be a leader of Sand Hill Baptist Church, and I know that I'm only 39 years old. However, 40 is quickly approaching. But God has allowed me to be here to be a leader of this church, but I don't want to do it by myself. And I hope that you don't want me to do it by myself. It's important that we work together. You allow me to bring you God's word, but how important it is that we work together for one common goal. The same goal that Daniel was working for is the same goal that we at Sand Hill Baptist Church should be working for. That is to let our light shine so bright. Let our faith never waver. Let us show other people that we want to conquer the world through the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. So I ask you to compare what Daniel did to the work that Daniel did to the work that we do here and what we can do at Sand Hill. As I mentioned in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, God has great things in store for this church. And I hope that you begin to see it and realize it. But when you do realize these things, realize and know that it's through the working of the Holy Spirit that this will take place. Not anything that you and I will do on the flesh, but it'll be through the giving of the Holy Spirit where we can do wonderful and miraculous things here at Sand Hill Baptist. So remember to be like Daniel. Remember to trust and obey. Remember to give God all the glory for what he has done in your life, and don't ever hesitate to tell others about Jesus. Don't ever hesitate to be courageous. As I end every Sunday with this Bible study, I encourage you and I challenge you to be a Daniel. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for all that you do each and every single day of our lives. Father, we're so gracious for your love. We're so gracious for your mercy. But God, I thank you so much for everybody that is here tonight. Lord, for the work that's been going on in the educational building with our youth tonight. God, you know the number that is there, but God, no matter the number, Lord, it is my prayer that we begin to grow so spiritually for you. That everything that we do, every single thought, will have you at the forefront. No matter what, God. God, it is my prayer that for everyone in this congregation tonight, that before they lay their heads down tonight for rest, I pray that they seek your guidance. They seek your wisdom. And they ask for you to give them the courage in which it takes to be a Christian. To be a bold Christian. To stand up for what we know is right. May our convictions be so strong that it shakes us to our core. Father, I pray this evening for your blessing to be upon us all. God, we thank you for what you do in our lives each and every day. We truly thank you for your providential care. And God, we do give you the glory, and we do give you the praise, for we know that you make all things possible. Father, we love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul, Father. Forgive us where we fail you. Be with us as we leave tonight. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.